If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
And she went down like Cool Runnings.
This podcast contains graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Now, with that being said, welcome to the Mortal Musings podcast.
Right, let's do this.
So, came across a couple of facts. I learned one fact and then it sent me down a little rabbit hole. So I had to write these down. I've got 9 of them. So we'll speed through them. But I'm sure there's going to be some discussion. Pigs' orgasms last half an hour.
Okay. Well, you said you had to speed run them, so.
No, but there can be some discussion.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Butterflies taste with the feet.
Okay.
Ostriches' eyes are bigger than the brain. That's how small the brain is.
Oh.
They're thick. Some lions mate up to 50 times a day.
Nah, it's taking the piss.
Well, they ain't got much else going on, have they?
They've got hunting and sunbathing, climbing trees.
If you give a chimp the pill,
birth control,
it works on them.
Okay.
Now, how the fuck they know that scares me.
No. You know.
You know, was you on giving it to Travis?
You leave Travis.
Oh, no, no, because it's he's a male.
He is, yeah.
Winston Churchill was born in a pub toilet. No?
No.
Oysters are trans. Like, an oyster throughout its lifetime will switch...
Intersex.
...will switch genders.
It's more in the category of intersex, though, isn't it?
What?
Would that not count as intersex? Would that not be the category?
I don't... Maybe. Maybe I didn't mean trans. Can be male or female whenever it wants.
Okay.
Not mad.
Yeah.
And this one I thought you would really love. All polar bears are left-handed.
Yes. Okay, lads, if we haven't brought up before, I am left-handed. This is my story. I am left-handed and if you're not left-handed, you don't realise how much you get shit on for being left-handed. Like, it's... Right-handed people are mean. They are vicious. Then they really are. The amount of shit I've had said to me because I'm left-handed.
Yeah. I don't believe you, but I went to school with people left-handed. They didn't get treated any different.
They didn't?
No.
I don't believe you for a second.
Like, they struggled with scissors and stuff.
The world is not made for people like me.
So, out of them, which was your favourite?
Polar bears, left-handed.
I thought it would be.
I thought Winston Churchill
would be your favourite, actually.
Don't give a shit about him. What I was going to ask you, how did he come into it?
I can't remember.
They were all animals, were they not? And then you just were like, oh yeah, Winston Churchill was burning a shit house.
That was the first one I'd got. I might have been listening to a podcast or something and heard one, and then I was searching up about that. And then I just started searching up different ones. I just thought I'd write them down to let you and the other listeners learn some new facts.
Well, I appreciate it because it's always good to learn. And I think from our episode on Timothy Treadwell and our shockingly bad knowledge on bears. We need all the information we can get.
Yeah. Yeah, we actually had people messaging to give us information on the different bears and which ones can be around you and what to do with one bear and what to do with the other bear.
Yeah, I can't quite remember how it went, but there was like a little
black bear, it would make yourself bigger, weren't it? Or something.
I don't remember.
Well, I will try and find some more facts.
About Winston Churchill or about animals? Or could it be anything? Anything, okay.
Like, I think out of them, the one what impressed me the most...
Did you double check any of them, or did you literally go on to like a BuzzFeed and be like, oh...
It might have been BuzzFeed. The shagging up to 50 times a day. Now,
no,
that's
piss. Excessive. No, that's ridiculous.
Like, that must be ready to drop off.
Mm. Red raw.
That's some usage, that.
Mm.
But then again, theirs is really quick, isn't it? It's literally a couple of pumps done.
I don't know.
Well, you've watched National Geographic.
Not to the same extent you or my father have.
They don't exactly do foreplay.
No, it's basically assault.
Well, on that note, we'll move on to today's episode. So, what are you telling me today?
I'm going to bring the tone down.
Of course you are.
Today, we're going to be talking about a case of extreme cruelty and neglect. We're going to be talking about the death of Timothy Ferguson. On the 6th of July, 2022, at approximately 6:30 a.m, police arrive at the home of Shonda van der Ark. She had called the police and told them that her son wasn't breathing. The police arrive, and once inside the home, they make their way to the basement, where they find the body of 15-year-old Timothy Ferguson, weighing just 69 pounds with bruising on his body. Timothy was dressed in ill-fitting clothes and laid on the floor. That same day, Timothy's mother Shonda was arrested. She was charged with open murder and first-degree child abuse 2 days later. The following week, Timothy's brother Paul was charged with first-degree child abuse.
Oh, so it's the whole family?
Well, it's the two people I just said.
So it's what, his brother and his mother?
Yeah.
Where's father?
Well, we're going to get into the backstory now.
Okay.
Timothy was born to parents Eric Ferguson, that was his father, and Shonda van der Ark. Timothy was described as a sweet, happy child with blue eyes and blonde hair. He grew up in Oklahoma along with his three siblings, Nolan, Paul, and Millie. And it was said that if you were to walk into Timothy's room, you knew to wear a pair of shoes, given his love of Lego.
Oh, yes. I remember them days with Lego.
I bet you like nearly broke your mother's neck a good few times.
Oh, yeah, not just with Lego. I remember when I was about 8 and a family member who lived another part. Oh, no, they lived in Germany. And they were coming over to the UK, you know, to do the rounds of friends and family. And they was coming to our house for Christmas Eve night. They do every year, Christmas Eve night. And so my mum was doing, you know, a deep cleaning, a spring cleaning.
Is this the staircase?
Yeah.
Sorry, can we... So, obviously you guys like true crime. You know the staircase case? Neil has his own one. Go on, Neil. Tell the story.
So, I was 8 years old and I wanted to help. I wanted to help my mum clean the house.
Like a good little lad.
So I was a good little boy.
Mm.
So I got the furniture polish and polished the stairs. Wooden stairs.
Yeah.
Already varnished stairs. But my mother didn't know this and she was wearing tights.
She ran arse over tit.
She came down like
a sack of shit.
From she stepped on the top step and then it went onto the next one and she went down like Cool Runnings. And then a couple of days later, this went on for fucking ages. And then a couple of days later, my brother was in his football gear. Mm-hmm. He got a football game. Well, not that day, because he went down about halfway down the stairs.
Hang on. Right, so that happened to your mother.
Yes, and we laughed a lot.
But you told her straight away, I polished the stairs.
No.
Oh, you just let her break her neck and you're like, oh, I don't know what happened.
Well, I thought I was helping. I didn't realise.
No, I'm not blaming you, but I'm just saying, like, you think yous would have been like, they're very slippery. It's very, like, it's polished up. I'm just going to wash it. Why didn't you just wash the stairs to get any of the...
I was eight.
Not you. Your mother or father or whoever.
I don't know. I don't think
I know why, because you didn't own up to it. They didn't realise they were fucking covered in polish.
Oh, no, they knew. Because they were asking what were different about the stairs. And then, I don't know how, but I ended up saying, oh, well, I put that spray on it and buffed it.
So they did clean it off in the end.
I can't remember, but I remember whatever I'd done, they couldn't undo fully. So they ended up getting matching carpet to what we had in the sitting room. So they bought more of that and they cut sections off and put them on each individual step.
Okay.
And they're still there to this day, I think, because of me. I was just trying to help. Got wrong end of the stick again.
Right, well, with Neil's tale out the way.
Confession,
yeah. Attempted murder. We'll get back to the story. Timothy was also particularly close to his sister, Millie, and was said to have always been by her side. The family would regularly attend church together, and although Timothy was said to have always had a smile on his face, this was where other members of the church would first notice a few red flags. They noted that the children's clothing was often dirty and that they're being left in soiled nappies.
Wait, so they're just leaving him shit up?
Yeah.
So when she's saying nappies, for our American listeners, it's diapers.
Yeah.
The Americans, why do they have to change everything? Like a dummy. Why do they call it a pacifier?
Well, I call it a dodi. So we're different there as well.
Well, no, you still know it as a dummy.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say that. There would be six investigations into different allegations made against the family, which resulted in action being taken twice. On the 1st of February 2008, the Oklahoma DHS opened an investigation focusing on Timothy, who was 18 months old at the time. There was allegations of malnourishment and medical neglect. Shonda and Eric both denied the allegations. But once a caseworker had visited the family, they noted that Timothy seemed unhealthy and underweight. Social services recommended an early intervention program for families of children with developmental delays and disabilities, as well as an action plan, in which the parents are required to follow a doctor's recommendations. You see, Timothy was autistic and also speech and motor impaired. Something it seems that his parents didn't really seem to make many adjustments for. After these recommendations were made, the case was closed. On the 25th of October 2009, after an allegation of sexual abuse, social workers along with the police arrived at the home of Eric and Shonda once again. After entering the home, they noticed how unsanitary the environment was, not just for children, but in general. The carpets were covered in both animal and human feces.
Fucking hell.
Now, understandably, the social workers, as well as the police, wanted to get the children out of the house immediately. But they were unable to do so without a court date.
I'm sorry, like, how can you just sit with literal shit?
Mm-hmm.
How? Like...
I know.
Like, the smell. Fucking hell, Ty went in his litter tray last night. I nearly died.
The following morning, authorities came back with a signed order to take the children out of the home. But overnight, the home had been scrubbed clean. Apart from a lingering odour, the home was immaculate. But it was too little, too late. The children were removed from the home and placed into foster care.
Good. Case closed.
Well, you say good, but at the end of it, it's still very traumatic for children to have to go through that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, but it's better for them.
Well, of course, with most cases of family law, wherever possible and safe to do so, the hope is for the family to be reunited. And that was the case here. It was what Eric and Shonda had both stated that they wanted. and what the judge stated was the goal of all of this, provided the children's parents can meet the standards that were expected of them. Eric and Shonda attended parenting classes and counselling. Eric knew he had fucked up and was now working to regain custody of his kids, and he completed all of the courses he had been enrolled in.
So is this going the way I think it's going? The father fucked up his ideas, but the mother didn't.
Yes. Upon completion, caseworkers recommended that his children be returned to his home. After 3 months, on the 19th of January 2012, the kids were back with their father. Millie stated, quote, "I was so excited when my dad told me I'd be coming home and staying home." Now, Shonda, on the other hand, had dropped out of the programs. Their priorities seemed to have been very different and would result in them filing for divorce. Shonda would be granted 3 hours of supervised visits each month.
3 hours a month?
Mm-hmm. The Oklahoma DHS recommended that Shonda's parental rights be terminated. However, Shonda agreed to move out of the home and to Eric having full custody of their children, and her rights were never officially terminated. Eric would go on to remarry a woman named Patricia, who would raise the children along with him. Shonda also remarried and had another baby.
Fucking hell.
In 2014, Shonda and her husband Adam and newborn baby relocated to Michigan. By now, Shonda's relationship with her other children was pretty much non-existent. So, jumping forward to 2021, Patricia was beginning to struggle to care for Timothy and any additional needs that he had. I can only assume Eric was possibly working longer hours during this time and Patricia did the majority of the caring for the children.
Yeah.
Whatever the case may be, the decision was made to send Timothy to live with Shonda in Michigan, which was also going against a court order. Remember, she was only supposed to have supervised visits. But the problem is, the courts rely on the parents to follow the rules and report anything wrong. In this case, it was both parents who were in agreement over the arrangement. But anyway, on the 27th of May, 2021, Timothy was sent to live with his mother in North Shores, Michigan. His older brother Paul, who was now an adult, and he was also currently living with his mother at this time. A few months after Timothy had moved to live with his mother, he attended a wedding where he saw his other family members. His sister recalled that he was his usual happy, cheerful self, and his weight was of no concern at this time. But the reality was that Timothy did not attend school while in Shonda's care. He was homeschooled instead. There also wasn't any records of him ever being taken to a doctor during this time. Now, to do with the homeschooling, not that there's anything wrong with it, of course, but given the situation, it seems as though she was really trying to isolate him from the outside world. He was literally not allowed to leave the house, only to walk the dogs, and that was still in the backyard, out of sight. She had also stopped giving Timothy his medication. Things really began to spiral around January 22, around 8 months after Timothy's arrival. This was when Shonda's husband Adam suffered a stroke and he moved back into the care of his parents. With Adam now out of the house, Shonda was left to her own devices.
Sammy.
To do whatever the fuck she wanted.
So basically this is when it really goes to shit then.
Yeah. Timothy had already been alienated from the outside world. We're now going to talk about some of the things that Timothy was subjected to at the hands of his mother and older brother, the two people who should have been there to protect and care for him. Inside the home, handcuffs were found in the bathroom, as well as a bottle of Elijah's Extreme Regret hot sauce.
The fuck were they doing with that in the bathroom?
It was part of his punishment. Shonda had actually specifically ordered that particular hot sauce due to its high Scoville rating.
Fucking hell.
The fridge and food cupboards were locked. There were cameras and motion sensors positioned throughout the home. Timothy was also deprived of sleep. When he was allowed to rest, he was forced to sleep inside a closet, which they referred to as the small room, with nothing to cover him but a tarp, which had since become stained from urine. This room was also monitored by a camera while he slept, as well as being fitted with motion sensors. There was even restrictions to his movement while in the closet.
So they've got money?
No.
But they've got all these cameras, motion sensors.
It's not expensive. She was literally just buying them off Amazon.
But motion sensors would be.
I don't think they are particularly, not nowadays, you know, it's easy to get. So, like I said, his restrictions were even limited while in the closet.
Yeah.
He was to kneel in the corner against the wall with his hands on his head. And this could go on for hours or even overnight.
Fucking hell.
Timothy would also be forced to wear a vibration detector on the belt loop of his trousers, as well as handcuffs and zip ties.
Wait, handcuffs and zip ties?
Yeah, either or, like.
I'm gonna say, fucking hell.
Timothy was limited with his bathroom times as well. He was allowed 1 minute to urinate and 2 minutes to defecate. The bathroom was also monitored.
So you know the 2 minutes for a number two? That'd be me fucked. I can sit in there for 8 hours.
Yeah. I don't know what you're doing in there.
What?
I don't know what you're doing in there. If you were having some trouble,
I could understand.
But if you're just sat there on your phone, that kind of annoys me.
I think it's a guy thing. It's like...
I don't think it is.
Relaxation time.
No, I think there's plenty of women who sit on the toilet with their phone as well. Just as they would work different shifts at work, Shonda and Paul would work shifts in order to discipline Timothy. Over the course of 6 months, hundreds of messages between Shonda and Paul detailed how they planned to punish Timothy for essentially nothing, including one message which Paul sent to Shonda stating, quote, "He's bone thin, Mama. I think we need to actually feed him." Her response to this was, "Okay, give him some bread, please."
And you know there'd be no nutrients in that, because it'll be that Wonder Bread. Just for our listeners, I'd always wanted to try Wonder Bread. So our friend Melissa, I got her to send me some. I was ill from eating two slices of it. It was like cake.
It's very sweet.
It's not bread.
No.
Yes, I hope. Well, that's what I mean. So... even if he was starving, he's not even going to get nutrients from that.
Shonda would plan out different punishments for Timothy, while Paul was the one who executed the plans. Their sister Millie would say about Paul, quote, "Paul loved having a power trip over Timothy. He loved having any sort of control over Timothy, as domineering as it could possibly get. For a while, we couldn't even have them in the same room because Paul would be so mean to Timothy."
Prick. So he was probably getting bullied at school or something.
No, like, that's neither here nor fucking there. If someone's getting bullied at school, there's plenty of people who get fucking bullied at school, and it causes them to be more compassionate and caring.
Yeah, some.
And then to disagree.
And then some go to, you know, be a cop, just so they can be a prick.
I think this...
What?
We're both thinking about someone in particular here, aren't we? I think, yeah, of course, you know, there are times where, you know, someone has been hurt and they lash out at someone else in whatever way. I understand that. But this is extreme.
Yeah.
This is abuse. This isn't picking on your sibling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was an occasion where Timothy went to the fridge without permission and took some cheese.
How dare he?
He was forced into an ice bath as punishment.
If I took your can of squirty cheese again,
lace up.
So one of our patrons in America, Rhonda.
Ron,
Mama Mortal sent us squirty cheese. I'm not into it. Any sort of fake cheese.
Yeah, but even if you were, I would growl at you. If you went near it.
That's what I mean. If I went in the fridge and took that.
Yeah.
I'm fucked.
Yeah, no good. Another time, Timothy ate a leftover crust from a burger bun. Shonda forced him to purge what he'd eaten.
Fucking hell.
The only food that Timothy received was hot sauce poured directly into his mouth or bread that had been soaked in hot sauce. This went on for months. Months of being deprived food, water, clothing, bedding. The list goes on. It was said that Paul would occasionally sneak peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to Timothy. So Paul had... It seems as though Paul had some level of this isn't right.
Yeah.
We need to do something here.
So is it more with Paul when he's having a bad day, he'd take it out on Timothy?
Look, Paul's a piece of shit. He's still doing these things. But there's, you know, Shonda is the master manipulator.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same as when we covered Blanche. You know, it was her mother doing it, but her brother was a piece of shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
I think if I remember correctly, I said he wants stringing up by his bollocks.
The house itself was putrid. Used nappies littered the floor.
Diapers.
Discarded food wrappers were strewn about. And feces smeared on door handles.
Shit. Wait, shit on door handles?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, if Timothy wasn't allowed to use the bathrooms properly, you know, maybe if he'd had an accident and then was trying to get out or something, you know, I don't know what the actual situation was. During their extensive conversations about different ways to torture Timothy, one of Shonda's requests was for Paul to apply hot sauce to Timothy's genitals, which Paul refused to do.
Do you know what's like, the more you think about it, the more sickening it is. So she's neglecting the child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like restricting his bathroom time and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So then when he has an accident, she'll punish him.
Yes.
That's so fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you've caused that. And then you're punishing him for what you've done.
Yeah, like, I mean, a lot of Shonda's reasoning later on.
Reasoning?
A lot of her reasoning after the fact would kind of be like, you know, Timothy was difficult to deal with. He was difficult to care for. Like, to do with his bed or lack of bed and bedding and everything was that he kept undoing bolts on his bed, that he had torn up his mattress. So they just took the whole thing out of there and she said, I couldn't afford to replace it and all of this. And it's like, that's an extreme leap.
Yeah.
You know, I understand you may have some difficulties and especially, you know, after the stroke with her husband and all that, you know, it was a hard time for the family. But how do we get from, oh my God, he's destroyed his bed to I'm going to literally only feed you hot sauce, bread. I'm going to give you an ice bath. If you eat anything else, I'm going to make you fucking stand or kneel on your fucking, kneel on your knees, kneel against the corner overnight. Like,
you got 2 minutes to shit.
Yeah.
The fuck has that got to do with anything?
The morning that the police were called to the home, Timothy had been left nude, with the exception of adult incontinence underwear. And he'd been hastily dressed by his mother and brother right before the police were called. Timothy's cause of death was determined to be a combination of malnourishment and hypothermia. Malnourishment, of course, due to the lack of food he was consuming.
Yeah.
And hypothermia due to the ice baths, which Timothy was subjected to right up to the day before he had died. The reason why Timothy had been subjected to an ice bath on the 5th of July was because Paul was struggling to wake him up. Shonda instructed Paul to place him into an ice bath. And at this point, Timothy was so weak, he couldn't walk, he's not talking. So Paul drags him from the closet and into the bathroom. That's the level this got to.
See,
he physically can't lift his body. And she's still like, yeah, do this. And Paul is still following through on it. So, like we mentioned earlier, Shonda was arrested the same day she had called the police to tell them that her 15-year-old son was dead in her home. And Paul was arrested the following week. In December 2022, Shonda stood trial in the courthouse where she had been previously employed. She had previously worked there as a law clerk for a circuit court judge. She had graduated from law school, second in her class. She had passed the bar exam on her first try, but she was never sworn in as an attorney due to the difficulties that the family had faced after her husband's stroke. So, Shonda could have had a promising career if she wasn't such a twisted fuck.
Yeah.
During her trial, Shonda was shown a picture of Timothy's malnourished body. She was said to have vomited at the sight of it. Her daughter Millie believes this was nothing more than an act.
Must have been.
Quote, "She didn't vomit the time she saw him before, but as soon as the cameras pointed at her, she'll do anything to make herself look like a decent person."
That's what I was going to say. Wouldn't have vomited while she did it.
Exactly. She is the one who caused his body to look like that. Now, Paul also testified against his mother. As Paul speaks, Shonda can be seen just shaking her head, taking notes, as if to make out he's lying. He's building this up and turning it against me.
Yeah.
During his testimony, Paul made it very clear that he feels that his mother is the master manipulator in all of this. But he is upfront about his involvement in the crime.
Okay, like, he's still a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe him.
I do, yeah.
She is the main one.
Yeah. Shonda listed a variety of different conditions that she suffered from, both physiological and psychological, including sensory issues, which you would think, if anything, would make her more compassionate towards her son, who experienced similar issues.
Yeah.
No. Apparently not. Shonda's trial was the first time that Millie and Nolan had seen their mother since Timothy's death, and they both made victim impact statements. Millie said, quote, "I want her detained for the rest of her life so she can't hurt anyone else. I want the world to know that Timothy was wanted, if not by her, then by me. He was loved by me." When Nolan spoke, he said, quote, "Timothy wasn't surrounded by people who loved him when he died. If I had known that, nothing could have stopped me from rescuing him and holding him in my arms and telling him I love him." He went on to say, "If I can't have my brother back, she shouldn't have her freedom back."
I don't know. I think this is death penalty. It's so sadistic.
Well, the judge also had a few things to say. He noted the abuse that Timothy had gone through and the effect that it had had on his body, likening his appearance to that of a victim of the Holocaust.
Fucking hell.
Quote, "I'm not going to let you hide in the darkness anymore. People know what you are now. I can't wrap my mind of how someone could do something so horrific, not just to another human being, but their own child."
What do you know I like with the statement thing saying, you know, he's not going to get his life back, so she shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd probably be worse off for her if they let her out. Now it's come out what she'd done.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the fucking uproar?
You know, people would be out for fucking blood.
Yeah.
On the 23rd of January, Shonda was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole, and a further 50 to 100 years for first-degree child abuse, a much higher sentence than is usually imposed for child abuse charges. After Shonda was sentenced, she was escorted out of the courtroom, not once looking up to see her children.
Oh, really?
Hmm. She knew
that
they were just like, fuck you and it.
Yeah.
The following day, Shonda's parental rights over her now 9-year-old son were terminated. He is now being raised by Adam's parents. The defense would later say, quote, "Something broke. This case makes no sense. There's no gain for her. Someday, someone is going to tell us what's wrong with this woman." Millie would also say about her mother, quote, She barely had any part in our lives. I don't think she was a mother for the children. I think she was a mother to call herself a mother. So that's Shonda taken care of.
Yeah. I'm interested to find out what he got.
Well, during Paul's trial, he talks about how his mother convinced him that there was nothing wrong with Timothy and that it was all an act. It's thought that the reason Paul was so willing to actually follow through with his mother's sadistic wishes was partially due to him having nowhere else to go. When asked did he love Timothy, Paul responded with, quote, "I suppose I didn't love him enough. That's why I'm trying to bring justice for him." The judge stated that he doesn't believe that Paul was repentant and that he is, quote, "one step away from becoming a psychopath, just like his mother."
I agree.
Paul pleaded for mercy. Reading from a letter, he told the judge, "If I could do it all again and do it right, I would." He then told the judge that he would serve his time, quote, "with the little honour I have left." Now, his attempt at remorse didn't seem to have much effect on the judge.
Yeah.
The judge would say to him, quote, "I don't believe that you're sorry. I don't believe that you have any empathy. I think you're just as bad as your mother, if not worse." On the 26th of February, 2024, Paul was sentenced to a minimum of 30 years. The Muskegon County Assistant Prosecutor stated that, "By a long shot, this case was the most difficult case I've ever worked on." Millie and Nolan did not speak at their brother's trial. Timothy's stepfather had passed away before the trial began, and his biological father did not attend. So with the trials out of the way, and Shonda and Paul have received their sentences, Millie now wants further investigation into how it came to be that Timothy would end up in Shonda's care.
Yeah.
It never should have happened.
Yeah.
That is the case of the torture and death of Timothy Ferguson. At the time of his death, Timothy was just 1 month shy of his 16th birthday. Timothy's body was cremated. His ashes are now buried next to his grandmother in North Carolina. Every year, Millie and Nolan visit Timothy's grave on his birthday.
So, was the reason why you said Millie and Nolan never, at the trial, they didn't speak to each other?
No, I didn't say that.
I thought that's what you said.
No. I said Millie and Nolan did not speak their brother's trial. Timothy's stepfather passed away before the trial.
Yeah.
And his biological father didn't even attend.
So Millie and Nolan didn't speak at the brother's trial?
Yes. Do you want me to read it again? Did it sound? Whatever.
No, but that's what I'm asking. Why? Was there a reason why they didn't speak? Oh, didn't... I get you. Yeah, don't worry. So I hear it as Neil and Megan didn't speak, meaning we didn't speak to each other. But you mean speak...
Didn't speak at the trial.
Yeah. I'm dumb.
There you go.
You could have given me a trigger warning.
I did beforehand that it was going to be a difficult one before we had started.
Yeah, but to what level? That was... I'm sorry if I was quieter than usual, but...
No, I completely understand. There's some things where it's very hard to have conversation on because there's no justifying anything.
Yeah.
There's nothing to say
on
a matter of time. You know what I mean?
But it needed telling.
Yeah. I'll show you a picture of Timothy. So this is a picture of Paul, Millie, and then Timothy is the smallest one. Nolan's not in there. I don't know where Nolan is.
Poor little fucker.
Like, that's him when he was really young. Like, look at the little face.
Yeah.
But then again, evil. He's got blonde hair and blue eyes, so you probably think he's evil.
No. No, the mother. Yeah, poor little fucker. You know? And the thing I take from this? I thought I had it bad. You know what I mean?
No, I know what you mean. It's very easy to...
Every kid does.
It's very easy to moan and bitch about different things. And then when you actually think about it and you put it into perspective and you go, well, do you know what?
Yeah.
You know what
My
I mean?
Life's not so bad.
Mm-hmm. The worst Timothy should have had is his parents shouting at him because they've stepped on another piece of fucking Lego.
Yeah. Right, so I've got one more job for you. You've got to bring us up on a high for a close. So please tell me you have a funny oddity, like a good oddity?
I do have a good one. Now, Neil, you actually know this.
Do I?
Yeah, you do. So we're going to talk about Frank Hayes.
Frank Hayes?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I know that name?
So Frank Hayes, originally from Ireland, was a horse trainer and jockey.
Oh, fucking Frank.
Frankie.
Yeah. No, this is a good one.
On the 4th of July, 1923, Frank competed in a steeplechase race at Belmont Park in New York. The horse he would be riding on that day was called Sweet Kiss. And Sweet Kiss had 20-1 odds.
So not great.
No.
Well, it's great if you fucking win with that.
Yeah. But the odds are against you.
Yeah.
That's why you say that.
Yes.
That's where that came from. So anyway, Frank hops on the horse and the race starts and the two of them take off.
Well, no, the horse takes off.
During the race, Frank goes limp and slumps over the horse. It wasn't until after the race that it was discovered that Frank had died mid-race.
You did, yeah.
He fell from the horse approximately 100 yards after the finish line. So he finished the race.
Yeah.
His cause of death would later be determined to be a heart attack at the age of 23.
Oh, fucking hell. I didn't know he was that young.
Yeah. Now, I mentioned there that Frank was a jockey, but it would be more accurate to describe him as a trainer or a stablesman.
Okay.
Is it stablesman or stableman? Is that a stableman thing?
Stablesman? No, stableman.
Stableman?
He worked in stables.
Is this like Frogman again? Frogman?
He worked in stables.
I still don't know if it's Frogman or Frogman.
I think it's either or. Potato, potato.
Anyway.
No, it's not potato, potato.
He was a trainer.
It's tomato, tomato. For fuck's sake.
But anyway, yeah, Frank was a trainer slash stableman.
He worked in stables.
He did. But Frank had always dreamed of being a jockey. The only thing standing in his way was his weight. In order to make his dream a reality, Frank began a new fitness regime, including weightlifting and jogging, as well as seriously reducing his calorie intake. It was argued whether the heart attack was caused by the excitement of the race or that he just simply put his body through too much in the previous months. Frank was buried at the Holy Cross Cemetery in Brooklyn, wearing his racing silks. Poor fuck, you only got the one wear at them.
Yeah. Well, they usually only do.
Do they?
Yeah.
Even back in the 20s? You think they would have been a bit more...
Well, I don't know because I don't know how it worked back then. But
they're
I
not
think
as wasteful as they are nowadays, I wouldn't imagine.
The colours aren't the jockey, the colours are for the ass, aren't they?
What's that got to do with it?
Because it's...
Oh, sorry, you mean each race, that they would have to match the horse.
I think it's so for the horse. Yeah. So then the next time they're racing, they might be on a different horse, so they're wearing different colours.
Hmm. I know nothing about horse racing. Couldn't tell you. So, not only was this Frank's first race, and he managed to finish the race, post-mortem.
Yeah.
But he fucking won the race. And the odds were against him at 20-1. Yeah. Don't forget that.
So, for anyone who doesn't understand, if you were to have a quid, $1, if you were to put $1 on, you would win $20 and then get your one back as well. So you'd be up 20, just in case people don't know.
I'd say people can figure that one out. Condescending prick.
Right, if you don't understand what OG means.
Yeah. So, as for Sweet Kiss.
Yeah.
Well, Sweet Kiss never raced again, and it was rumoured that she was now given the name of, quote, the Sweet Kiss of Death.
Fuck off.
Mm.
What, like, it was the horse's fault?
Basically, yeah. I mean, she got the fucking blame for it, really.
I don't know. I'm not really a massive fan of horse racing.
No, I don't like it.
You know, you whip the shit out of them to get to the finish line quicker. They fall over and break their leg, they shoot them. There and then on the track.
Not on the track.
They do?
They take them off.
No. They put up a fucking tarp and they shoot. You hear it. Bang. You hear them shoot the fucking horse in the head.
Do you know that for a fact?
I've seen it.
When have you seen it?
Right. When, because my dad is a massive horse racing fan. And I've sat and watched horse racing with him. And when they've gone back, when they've gone back round and they've pulled the green tarp up, my dad said they're shooting it.
So you're going by what your dad says?
Yes.
So this is saying euthanize, not shooting.
Well, that's what they mean.
No, it's injection. That makes your father even more of a sadistic fuck if he's watching that. Like, I don't like horse racing and all that, but that's even fucking worse.
Yeah. So he won.
But at what cost?
But he were dead when he crossed the line.
We're all Frankie, huh? Thank you so much for listening. Find us on Patreon, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. If you have a case suggestion, or maybe even your own story, email us at mortalmusingspodcast@gmail.com.